Thank you so much, guys, for taking the time to be here. I'm delighted to be here, but more importantly, hopefully I will impact at least one person here, ideally all of you, but I would like to impact one person at least, so that when you leave here, you go out with a better mindset and a better attitude towards life and also towards your career. Does that sound good? Yes. Wonderful. So I'm just going to tell you a little bit about me, and then I'm going to tell you where I was and how I bridged the gap in between, because all of us want to get somewhere in our lives, whether that be in our personal lives or whether it be in business or our career. But sometimes we just don't know how to do that. So I'm all about the how, because at one point in my life, I didn't have the how. I just had a wish. So I'm just going to show you a little bit about my life at the moment. And this is my little boy at Christmas. This is how eager he was to get his presents. I just love doing anything to do with adrenaline. But on the flip side, I love doing art. I love media stuff. Anything really that kind of gives me a little bit of a buzz or a feeling of purpose for life, that's me. At one point in my life, this was me. So I was literally half the weight I am now. So if you imagine if you split me down the middle, what you get, I know that's hard to believe, but that was, I know you it's horrible. But this basically was this, a physical representation of an unmet need and a response to my environment. That's all it was. Can everybody see here? Yeah, okay. So that's what it was. And sometimes, you know, I know this is a physical graphic representation, and not all of us go on that route, but our responses or our behaviors can be as destructive. It could be anything from procrastination to alcohol abuse, drug abuse, being shy, not putting yourself forward. All those kind of things are just results of unmet needs and our reaction to our environment. Because would you agree, have you ever met a negative baby? No? Have you ever met, you know when people say, oh, I'm just a worrier? Have you ever met a worrier baby? Or an anxious baby? Or a baby who is just one of those pessimistic people? Never. So we're born happy and successful. We're just conditioned over time not to be. And I'm going to show you proof of that and how you can actually rise above that conditioning and become best versions of yourself, because that's what I want here for you today, is to become a better version of yourself. It's not up to me to decide what it is you want in your life, but I'm going to help you to get there. This is what I want you to understand. Life happens. Every single person here has had an event in their life that they haven't liked. Some small events, some big events, but you can't really compare pain, you can't really compare events as such. But everybody has had some kind of thing in life that has halted them to stop them becoming the person that they really are truly capable of becoming and reaching their full potential. And I'm going to tell you, this actually happened to me more than once. And it's good to know that, because sometimes when you become successful, and by successful I mean being the best you can be, sometimes when you become successful, you think you've made it, and all of a sudden you're flung back to the way you were. So people often ask me, why is it that I put my body like that? It's not out of vanity. That is not attractive. Would you all agree? I put myself like that because when I was 7, I was raped and I didn't know what to do with it. So I kept it in my mind, and that was the result of it. Okay, I'm going to flick from that image because it's not very nice to look at. But that was the result of it. I didn't know how. My life just went totally out of control. So because I couldn't control it, I came upon this thing called getting the numbers down on the scale. And that happened to be it. And I felt in control of my life. Control is a normal human need. If it's thrown off balance, we do everything that we can to get it met, and we have lots of other needs. And if we can't, we go for the second best alternative. And that's why we all go for second best alternatives when our needs aren't met. So eventually, I did get better. And the only reason I'm telling you my story is not to impress you or to show you where I am today. It's to impress upon you that no matter where you are or what you're doing, you can get what you want with the right mindset, the right skills, and the right attitude. Skills and strategies can be learned very easily. It's your attitude and your mindset that actually predict how well you use those skills. So when I got better, and I genuinely was better, I was healthy, I was in Leave and Cert, I had a boyfriend, I thought I had it made. And relative to Leave and Cert, I was going out, I was Mitch in school too, jumping off the pier during school, and it was just, I really, really was healthy and productive. I got into first year in college. It took a lot because it was psychology, it was very competitive, believe it or not. And I thought I had it made. And then in 1998, I had a car accident, and I hit my head during that car accident. I hit it here on this side, my temporal lobe. And about 2 weeks later, I started to experience kind of funny symptoms. I was losing track of time. I just wasn't myself. And I was also hearing kind of mumbles in my mind. So I said to my mum, I know there's nothing psychologically wrong with me, but there's something not right. And she said, yeah, I agree. So go to the doctor. So I went to the doctor and the doctor said to me, take antidepressants. And I said, but I'm not depressed. And I genuinely wasn't, because I'd overcome all that stuff. But they said, well, take them anyway. They automatically jumped to the conclusion that it was because of my earlier years where I guess I was feeling low. So I took the antidepressants. Long story short, I ended up in a psychiatric unit 2 weeks later on 24-hour supervision, which means if I walk over here, I have a human shadow. If I go to the bathroom, if I have a shower, I have someone literally following me. They told my parents that I had schizophrenia. I had to go on the medication, the highest dose, as quickly as possible, and to be committed on 24-hour supervision. Both I and my parents knew I didn't have schizophrenia, but at the time, my parents had used up the insurance from my earlier years, so they couldn't use it. You can't use the same insurance on the same illness as such. So they didn't have the insurance to cover my hospital stay to get a second opinion. So I was there in 3 months, I was on 14 different medications. You know when you see that person in, like, say, Phoenix Park or on Grafton Street or Henry Street, and they're like this, and they're dribbling, and they've got crumbs on their top and stuff. I know it's hard to believe that that was me, so never judge a book by its cover. My face was all puffy, and I dribbled with 14 different medications. And eventually my parents said, look, it's just not on, it's not right. And they asked for a second opinion. They pulled a few strings. They were very good friends with a doctor. They pulled a few strings and they got me into another hospital. And the doctor, thank God, the doctor that I was under, he said, look, I'm going to talk to different people who've seen you. And he did. He asked my parents different questions. And he looked at my file. And my dad said, can you tell me this? Before the accident, Donna was absolutely fine. And after the accident, she's not normal, is the way he put it. Can you not, like, accident surely has something to do with it. And they said, what accident? It wasn't in my file. The scan that was taken of my brain, which showed on my left temporal lobe, it showed a hematoma, which is bruising of the brain, that also wasn't in my file. So on paper, it looked like it's something very different. So I spent another 3 months in a psychiatric unit because they had to take me off all the other junk that I was put on. So it got to a point in my life where the first time when I had really difficult times, I was given a week to live, so I was at rock bottom, and I had to learn to build myself up again. Gratitude helped me to get that, believe it or not. I started to have to think about what is it that I do have, not what I don't have. But the second time round, when I was in the psychiatric hospital and the doctor said, I have epilepsy, I said, I don't have epilepsy, and I was sick of people telling me what I have, and I'm quite stubborn. I said, I don't have epilepsy, just give me proof that I have it. So he sent down to the hospital library and they brought up documents about this tick. And I sat in the bed and honestly, I cried, I'd say, for about an hour. And it was just tick, 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 tick. All the symptoms that I was experiencing, I had. So they automatically jumped to a conclusion that it was psychiatric, when in actual fact, a head injury caused a neurological disturbance in my body. And I have epilepsy, and I still have epilepsy. So I had to build my life up from where I was to where I am today. And thankfully, I've learned lots of different strategies. I learned and worked with lots of different people that you consider very successful. At 23, I opened up my first company, and in the first year, I turned over €1 million. Now, you might think, why am I even telling you that? It's just to show you that you can go from absolute disaster to being happy and genuinely confident. And that's what I'm going to show you here today. There's a difference between being cocky and confident. If you want to be cocky or you want to have that shallow confidence, just become a good actor. It's very easy to do. But if you want to have a genuine sense of confidence where you don't have to shout about it so much, you can just be confident and feel good in yourself. Where you wake up in the morning with a genuine smile on your face, that's what I want you to have. Would you like to have that? Yes. Okay. So this is what you've got to decide. You've got to look at your mind. I'm going to show you how it works. And then you've got to decide whether you need to change your mind, which is what I had to do. And this is a question you need to ask yourself. Are you becoming a victim or a victor? Everything happens to everybody in life. Different things, but at the end of the day, stuff happens to us. It doesn't have to be majorly traumatic or anything. Stuff happens. But if you want to get to where you want to get, you need to decide, are you going to become a victim of your circumstance or a victor? You may not know how to get what it is that you want, but the how is just a strategy that can be learned. You've got to make the decision first to become a victor. So which are we going to be in the room, victors or victims? Victors. Hands up anyone who would like to be a victim. Look around the room. Admittedly, are some of you, you don't have to put up your hands, admittedly, are some of you looking or feeling like a bit of a victim, blaming the world for your problems? If only they would do this, then I could do this. If only I came from a better background, I could achieve more. If only I had better brains or more intelligence, I would be better, or whatever. We're constantly doing comparisons because we are a society of comparisons, in my opinion. So it's so important that you literally take ownership of your own life and your own choices, no matter what background you have. No matter where you came from, who you know, or what your current circumstances is, if you want to improve and get to where you want to get to, that's what you need to decide. And you've all decided here today that you're going to be victors. So here's what you've got to do. You've got to decide and own your own life. And I put business up there, simply you can refer to your career or if you have a business or whatever. You need to choose a new focus. So when I was sitting on my bed and I was crying and I thought, okay, I've got to do something here. I didn't want to get back to baseline. I wanted to go more than that because I thought, I'm not going back to where I was. But I knew how to get there from the first set of events, let's say. But I guess it was harder the second time because when you're knocked back once and twice, you kind of think, well, maybe it'll happen again or something will happen again. It's a natural question. But I had to decide. That's literally, I had to get stubborn with myself. And I had to say, quit the crap, and really just own your own life and become responsible for your own life and become greater than your problems. This is what I want you to understand. You are not your problem. If you make your story your identity, you will never do anything worthwhile in your life, ever, not to the full extent that you can really achieve what it is that you want to. So decide what you do want. Most people look at what they don't want. Well, I don't want to be sad anymore. Or I don't want to be shy anymore. I don't want to be anxious anymore. I don't want to be this, that, or the other. If you want to get what it is that you want, you've got to decide with clarity what it is that you want. You're all Googlers. If you decide you want to search something in Google, do you put in something that you don't want? That's kind of dumb, isn't it? So you've got to put in exactly what you want. So you've got to tell yourself what you want. Put yourself in a strong state. Look at the resources around you. You have so many resources. What can you use, no matter how small, to get you to where you want to get to? And create a why. I put that back there as well. If you've got a why to do something, you will do anything. How many people here admittedly get in better shape when they have a holiday or a wedding coming up? You go, well, I'm not going to sit in the on the beach looking like, you know, everybody else is there out there with their beach bodies. And it gives you a motivation to do it. Admittedly, are we a bit like that? If we want to give up cigarettes, we have to put up a why behind it. So when you get a why, when you get a bit of an engine behind what it is that you want to do, you'll be able to do it a lot easier. So look at what it is that you want to do, if you can identify it. If not, just play around with what you might like to do and put a why behind it. So I had to get a why behind getting better. My why was, I was sick of seeing my parents cry, honestly. And then I thought, I'm going to be stubborn and I'm going to get what it is that I want to get. But I've got to get my why. And that was my initial why. So get an initial why and then build it up. This is what you've got to decide too. Are you going to be interested or committed? How many people here turned on their computer this morning? Were you interested in doing it or were you committed to doing it? Try and put your hand up, please. Try and put your right hand up then. Okay. Just try and put your right hand up. I'm not asking you whether you're interested or committed. Just try and put your right hand up. Okay. I said try. I didn't say put it up. Okay. Most people will put it up. Try and doing are two totally different things. If you want to get a result, you've got to commit to it. You don't have to be interested. I can get into my car and go, oh, I'm so interested in driving. Yeah, maybe I'll do it, maybe I won't. Or I say, put the key in and just put my foot on the accelerator. Then you get somewhere. So you have to become not interested, you need to become committed to what you're doing. Remember these three P's. I don't know how well they're highlighted here. Plan, prepare, and proceed. Google Maps. If you want to get somewhere, you need to decide, first of all, you need to type it in. You need to decide, it decides for you. which is the best route to get there. That's smart, isn't it? If you don't decide where you want to go, you'll end up either nowhere or someone you don't want to be. So identify the best route to get there. Look at the skills and the support that you need. Now, imagine like driving a car. If I'm driving a car, I've got certain boundaries in the car. I need to make sure that I've got things with me in case I break down, or I've got some resources, or I've got some kind of maybe telephone numbers that I can ring in case I break down or in case I hit an obstacle. That's smart, isn't it? Most people don't put those in their lives. Most people do not prepare for if something happens, what will I do? So for example, let's say I meet an event in my life, which is very likely, where my life goes totally out of control for whatever reason, or I perceive it to be that way. Do you think I could go back to the way I was? Absolutely, I could. Do you think I will? No way. And the reason I won't is because, first of all, I've chosen not to, I've committed not to, but most importantly, I have strategies in place that if I feel like that way, if I feel vulnerable, I know exactly what to do to prevent me from going back there. So this is why you've got to have strategies and skills in place to get you to where you want to go. Focus forward. If you're driving a car, do most of you drive here? Okay, if you don't drive, you've been in the car with somebody who does drive. If they drove looking in their rearview mirror, what would you think of them? Let's drive. What would you think? They're insane, right? So you'd want them to focus forward. Most people in their lives focus backwards. They're constantly looking in the rearview mirror. Well, I want to do this, but this happened before. Or I want to do this, but it didn't work out the last time, or whatever. Focus forward on what you do want. If you meet obstacles along the way, so what? That's life. You just learn how to overcome them. If you need help to overcome them, you get that help to overcome them. But everyone has those obstacles. But as long as you're focusing forward in the right direction, you have a good chance of getting to where you want to go. I have down here, choose your team. Most people in their lives do not choose their team. Imagine if you're in a car and you've got a bunch of people and one is shouting at you from the back, one is firing papers at you, one is putting their hands over your eyes. What would you say to them? Stop. Or get out of the car. So imagine that your life is like a car. You either have to tell people to stop or remove them. I don't mean kill them. I mean just remove them. Not delete them, just a disclaimer. But just maybe to step aside from them or limit your time with them. If people aren't in line with or matching what it is that you want to do. Now, here's the thing. Everybody has a family. So some of us have bigger families than others. And I have what you might call licorice orthos, all sorts. They're not all pro my goals. Some of them think they're mad. Some of them are very straightforward. Some of them are very straight. Some of them are very hippie-like or whatever. But I've got to choose who I need to have in my life. Family you can't really get rid of, so just limit your time with the ones that you don't enjoy. With the ones, you can blame me. But choose who you want to be around. Now that's not a snobbery thing. At the end of the day, and there's a phrase which I think is a wonderful phrase. If you're in a plane and the pressure drops, what do? Put on your own air mask first. If you're not looking after yourself, you can't look after other people. Everyone has their own individual's lives to lead and they are responsible for their own lives. So stop being responsible for their lives. Be responsible for your own. Own your own life. And make sure that who you surround yourself with are people who actually are going to help you get to where you want to get to. Find an expert. This is something that I had to do. I had to find experts because I didn't want to kind of do it the slow route again. I wanted to get to where I wanted to get to, but I didn't know how, as I said. So I had to find people who had what I wanted, regardless of circumstance. So I thought, what if I could find people that had been through rubbish circumstances, but had become successful despite them? And I figured if I model their results, or if I model their strategies, I should come up with similar results. That'd be correct. If I want to be a good chef, would I find a mediocre chef, or would I find the best if I want to become really good at it? You find the best. So if you want to do something, you've got to find the best at it and model their strategies. So learn from experts. When I learned to drive, I made sure I learned from somebody who knew how to drive. It wouldn't be very smart, would it, to learn to drive from somebody who hadn't a clue what they were doing? No. But most people learn from people who haven't a clue what they're doing. Believe it or not, in my industry, there are a lot of people teaching or explaining, and they actually don't have the results that they're talking about. You'll be shocked. There are so many experts teaching stuff, and they don't have the results. So for me, it's more important to find somebody. I don't care what education somebody has. I don't care where they're from, who they know. As long as they've got the results that I can follow, that's what I'm interested in. And everyone knows one of those. You may not know them personally. If you don't, find them and model exactly what they do. You do not need to have all the answers. Nobody does. Even if they say, everybody says, oh, I know it all in their minds. No, you don't. Is there any know-alls here? Everyone's going, yeah, he is. Yeah, she is. But the fact is, nobody knows everything. I'm still learning. Everybody is still learning. And practice your actions. There is no point thinking about something. You've got to do it, and you've got to practice it and practice it. Remember when you first got your computer and you learned to use it? Are you better now than you were at the beginning? Some people don't know. Think of that image. Council workers. I hope nobody here is a council worker part-time. But in the event that you are, there's no point staring into a hole, staring into a mess and looking at it, and having all your other people that you don't want in your life join you and looking in and say, oh God, that's such a mess, that's such a mess. Oh, what will we do? Let's all join in and talk about it. Let's talk about people who were also there before. You know, that doesn't get you anywhere. Your brain is your most valuable asset. People learn strategies all of the time. So do I. But unless you have your brain behind it, your engine behind it, it is like turning on a computer with no power. You don't get results. You have to have your mindset right first. Mindset equals money set. Mindset equals blank set. Everything you do is based on your mindset. Do you perform better if you're feeling better? If you've had a really, really crap evening and you come into work and you just don't want to talk to anybody, nobody does that, do they? Everyone has those days. So you've got to put power behind what it is that you want. And I'm going to show you this using an analogy of a computer. You can all relate to this, right? Now, if I pick up my phone, and I have here on my phone, I actually code my phone because my son likes to get it. If you look at all of those apps on my phone, how do they get there? Some were put on when I got it, right? And some I put on. Some apps actually arrive on my phone. I have absolutely no idea where they came from. Ads for products that I have no interest in, they just pop up on my phone. I don't know how they got there. But there's something being downloaded all the time. You're probably responsible for some of them. Actually, that is just a... It was your look in your face that gave it away. So I want you to imagine this. Imagine somebody is a total novice. They don't know anything about computers, which you were one time. And we go into a computer store, and we ask the computer person, the person in the store, look, can you help me? They're the expert. And they say, no problem. And they feel wonderful about themselves. They come over, and you say, well, will you pick out the best computer for me, please? So they go and they pick out the best computer that they think is the best one. So this is wonderful. And you say, well, I don't know how to use emails, but I hear everyone else is using them, so can you just put that on too? And Microsoft Word, or whoops, Google, put Google on it, put Chrome on it, put whatever you want on it. I don't know how to use it, so will you do it? So they say, no problem at all. So they put all this stuff on, and then this happens. We get home, we become frustrated, it's not working, things start to crash, emails start to arrive for everything you could possibly imagine. I have got emails from people that I don't know. I have won the lottery so many times. There are people in Algeria who want to give me €1 million. I don't know who they are, but they arrive all the time. Now, if I don't know anything about computers, would you think I'd open those junk mail? Of course you would. At the beginning. Now, you may not now, because you know better. But at the beginning, you open everything, don't you? And programs start to crash, and we think, is there something wrong with us? So imagine when you first use a computer and just stuff wasn't working, or even now, if a program isn't working for you, it's frustrating, isn't it? Yeah. And sometimes you kind of think, what is wrong with me? Why can't I just get this right? So using that analogy, and I like to use analogies because it simplifies things, I want you to imagine the computer like your brain when you're born. When you're born, we have a basic computer. We have a basic brain. We have the ability to learn a language, the ability to move, and the ability to feed. That's kind of it. How do you think you have the accent that you have? You learned it, and you were constantly exposed to it. Some of you here have been exposed to a second language rather than your first language, because you're around it. The more you're around it, the better you get at it. And all information comes into us, like apps on a phone or a computer. It comes in constantly. Our accent, our walks. I got the raw deal. I got a Mayo accent. Like, seriously. Flat as a whatever. But everybody has an accent, simply because it came in to your brain. Every opinion you have, every cultural opinion you have, every religious opinion you have, everything that you have in your brain was downloaded either by your environment or by somebody else. You just let it in. Same way the stuff gets into my phone. Somebody put it in there. Sometimes I download stuff that isn't good, but it goes in there. And that's the exact same as our brains. Now this red thing here represents emotions. Sometimes our brain has emotional tags. Now what that means is, you're here, there's lots of information going on. The lights of the fan, the camera, everything. You couldn't possibly focus on it all at the same time. You would go crazy, right? So we filter information. We narrow it down to the things that are important to us, the things that you can focus on, that you need to focus on. And sometimes there's emotions tagged to information. It's like, I guess, an app or a CD, if you imagine, or a DVD, whatever. You just put it into your brain. So if you imagine you go through life, for example, and you get into school, before you go to school, you think you're really smart. Like my four-year-old at the minute, he is a genius as far as he's concerned. He actually did a picture yesterday, and I have to say, he's very creative. So I did call him a genius on Facebook. He is wonderful, and I can praise him. I'm totally biased. Now, what happens when he goes into school? Do you think he's going to start getting color inside the lines? Make sure you do this correctly. If you get an A, you're good. If you get an F, you're rubbish. He gets all different information. Hopefully I'll be able to prevent or at least reframe some of that, but he'll get all that stuff. So we actually monitor and I guess equate how we are and how valuable we are in our identity to our performance in society and what society tells us is good. So let's imagine I'm in school and my teacher tells me that I'm stupid, or I get an F, or I get a G, or I get whatever, and automatically my brain tells me that means I'm not good enough. So I download it, and it's emotionally tagged. Now here's the thing. All of our senses are involved in this. Our feelings, what we see, everything. So it goes in like almost like just like a movie. It goes into our mind, and it plays. If there's a lot of emotion tagged to it, it will play a lot. If there's not really much emotion, you probably don't even notice it. Our brain's purpose is to keep us alive and safe. It likes to keep us comfortable. So if it recognizes something in the environment that it doesn't like, it will try to avoid it or will try and deal with it. That's called fight or flight. So if we have an emotional tag to a piece of information or to something that happens in our lives that makes us feel uncomfortable, if we come across that again or something similar, your brain has to generalize. How did you know to sit on that chair? Because you've sat in a chair before and you know what a chair does. How do you know when you walk into a door that it opens this way or that way? The first time you walked into a door, or not into the door, through the door, the first time that you did that, maybe when you were a baby, you had to kind of figure out, what does this do? But our brain generalizes positive and negative. So for example, when that happened to me when I was younger, it was a one-off event. There was lots of emotions obviously tagged to it, but my brain, in order to keep me safe and comfortable, said, from now on, if I experience anything like this again, trigger all those same emotions, and then I have a chance to decide what to do with them. So can you imagine if I went into a situation and I got bullied, which is kind of control taken away from me as well? How do you think I'd react? Now, if you imagine if somebody started to ask me, where are you going and what time will you be back? Do you think that might have bothered me then? Yeah, because I felt they were controlling me. They probably weren't, but I felt that they were. So it generalizes. It's like a Hoover. It sucks everything up and then says, from now on, anything I see or hear or smell or taste or feel, I'm going to trigger those same emotions. And that is why, if somebody, for example, is afraid to give a presentation, it's probably because at some point in your life, you would have seen or experienced judgment at a presentation and you didn't like it. or you saw somebody that maybe people laughed at or something like that. If you're afraid to do something, it's because somewhere in your mind you've got a CD playing or a movie playing that tells you, if I do this, this is what happens. We all got those? Everybody does. That happens in the limbic system. The limbic system is basically a really primitive part of the brain. Apes have it. It is very, I'm not saying it came from apes, by the way, I'm just saying that it's as primitive, it's as dumb as an ape. It's very black and white. It doesn't see the difference, reasoning or nothing. Reasoning is part in a different part of our brain. So it's all to do with emotions, to do with memories, to do with responses, to do with reward and desire, memories, everything. It's all banked in the limbic system. And what it does, this is how it works, and this is really important that you pay attention to this. It can't tell the difference between what's real or imagined at a neurological level. Admittedly, and guys can admit this too, if you're in a movie or watching a DVD, and it's a horror movie, and all of a sudden something starts to happen, and your heart starts to beat, and your sweat glands start to activate, and your blood pressure goes up, and you're like, oh God, I don't want to see this. Even though, you know, it's green screen, it's all special effects, and they're acting. So why would your body physically respond? Because at a neurological level, the limbic system cannot tell the difference between what is real or imagined. So it responds anyway. And the more our body physically responds to something, the more adrenaline and cortisol is released, the more we shy away from things if the emotion is negative. Also, it does not filter information. Now, do not, and I'm telling you, do not think of a pink elephant. I said don't. Now, whatever you do, I don't want you to think of Grafton Street and you're going up and wow, there's a red dress in the shop window. And then all of a sudden you see a yellow football on the ground. Don't think of that. You've all thought of it, right? So our brain doesn't differentiate. It's like a junk mail. It just, everything just comes in. It's up to us what we engage in. But everything comes in. So everything somebody says to you, you register almost like as a download. It's up to you what to do with it. But if you've got these programs going on in your head that's that are emotionally tagged, it kind of makes you deal with it ineffectively, as I did. Here's the other thing. It is responsible, as I said, for the fight or flight. Do I deal with it or do I run away? Programs our behaviors and habits, and it strengthens responses through repetition. If I have a dumbbell here and I do that, it strengthens my arm, right? But I won't really notice it because it's only done once. What if I keep doing it? What happens? You're all judging my arm right now. No, I do not go to the gym too much, but it's supposed to get stronger. You all speak the language you speak because you've practiced it. You all can do this because you've practiced it. The more you do it, the better you get at it. And this includes our thinking and our mindset. The more we talk to ourselves, admittedly, have you ever felt a bit of a sniffle, like a cold, and you didn't really want to go into work or you didn't want to do something and it's, oh God, I have an awful cold. Oh, I can feel my sinuses blocking up. Yeah, I think my throat is going as well. And you start coughing and you start actually talking yourself into it. We do it all the time, we don't even realize. That part of the brain is like an engine in the background. We don't realize what it's happening. So this is about becoming conscious of what you're doing, become very aware of what you're doing and things can change. Change perspective. Now I'm gonna, normally I don't wear sunglasses, so I thought I'd put them there just in case. Can you stand up for a minute, please? Oh no. If you were four, do you think you'd mind standing up?
No, I wouldn't.
No. Okay, put those on, turn around. She looks lovely, doesn't she? Okay. Now, just turn around there for a second. The room is the way it is, right?
Yeah.
Now, how does it look now?
A lot darker.
Now, can you imagine if she walked around with those sunglasses, what she would look at and what she would see? I'll just take them off now. Okay, let's sit back down. What we see in the world is predicted by what filter we have. If I walk around, for example, with this phone in front of my eyes, all my downloads, that's how I'm going to see the world. So it's not necessarily that people think of you a certain way. If you have programs running in your mind, you think that they do. You perceive that they do. Cultural differences, race differences, everything from, you know, the way people look, the way people dress, the way people speak. We all perceive that they're going to be a certain way because of our downloads. Because of the information we grow up with, we perceive various different things. So do you think that I could perceive that people were controlling my life after that event happened? Absolutely. Were they controlling my life? No. When somebody said to me, when I was at my lowest weight, and someone said to me, Donna, and I was getting back up, you're starting to look better, I hated them. I absolutely hated them. Yet to look a little bit better would have probably be healthier, right? So it didn't make any sense that I would want to look better. So I used to think everybody was telling me, if they said I look better, it meant they were telling me I was fat, which was just a perception. That's all. So everything that you do in your life is a perception of reality. It's not necessarily reality. Does that make sense? So you've got to change the perceptions that you have and be open your mind to new thinking. Open your mind to different opinions. Open your mind to different ways of looking at what you want to achieve and how you might achieve it. Understand the perspective is not the same as reality. And this is a question you need to ask yourself. Are you prepared to allow your perceptions or your programs to determine what you do in your life? If somebody called you stupid, are you prepared to allow them to control what you achieve? If you grew up in a really disadvantaged area, are you going to allow that to dictate how wealthy you become? If you decided that you want a promotion, but you don't think you can because your sister told you that you probably won't get it, are you going to allow that to dictate what you do? That's your decision, that you have to own your life and allow yourself to make decisions based on your new reality, if that makes sense. And this is neurological, guys. This is not me just talking theory. This happens for real. You are literally being wired every single minute of your day. As I've been talking, you've been thinking different ways. You've been reframing stuff. You've been thinking, well, how does that apply to me? Or how could I use that in the future? How could I use it in this circumstance, right? So when you're doing that, you're changing your perception. And all that takes is bringing experts into your life that have good ones. Literally choosing the downloads that you get in your brain. Choosing who you talk to. If you talk to miserable people all day, guess what you're going to feel? Miserable. If you're watching, here's the fix, right? You go home from work. Yay. EastEnders, half an hour. Coronation Street after it, I think. Fair City at some point. Then you watch maybe the news, or you might hear the news every hour. Remember, your body is physically responding. So if you're watching somebody scraping somebody else's eyes out on the pavement or a row over someone who's had an affair, or you're watching the news every hour, your body is physically responding and wiring you neurologically. My body was wired neurologically for unproductive responses. So if you want something in your life or your career, whatever it is, that's up to you. You have to wire yourself correctly for it. The only things you should be putting in your mind is positive information, productive information. Everything you read, who you talk to, what you watch. And it does have a difference. I am living proof that it has a difference. I used to talk myself miserable. I used to say everything to myself that I could possibly say that was negative. But once I started to seek out experts or people who knew what they were doing, successful people. Successful basically to me is being the best you can be in whatever area you choose. So what if I was to find those people and let them download on me? Let them tell me what it is that I need to be wired for. Do you think that would be a smarter move? Okay. So think about who it is that you can learn from. You may not personally know them. Read about them. Some of you have my book. Read it. Do it. There's exercises in it. Look at people on TV. How do they walk? How do they talk if they feel confident? If I walk along like this, do you think my neurology will make me feel confident? Absolutely not, because here's the thing. Your body and your mood are directly related. It's called a psycho-cybernetic loop. You're literally, if I look down like that, my body will tell me that posture matches feeling bad. If I curl in like that, if I want to do something really well, if I give a presentation like that, how do you think I give it? Or if I sat down like this and I walked over like this, how do you think I give that presentation? Not strong. So if you want to, for example, do you want to engage with new people or you want a new relationship or you want to learn something new, make yourself in that posture. Think of, if I knew someone who was really good at this, and you may just know of them, how would they stand? What tone of voice would they have? How would they breathe? At one point in my life, I was literally afraid to cross the road on my own. I had to get my mother to hold my hand. Before that, I didn't want to go outside my door. I used to go under my bed, as my mother called it, I used to go into my hole. And for me, I had to do it gently. So I had to go in for a cup of coffee, which was terrifying. I would genuinely have preferred to chew on glass than do that. How am I up here talking to you? I had to decide. I had to become committed. I had to get the skills and practice them often till I become wired for it, so that it becomes as natural to me as breathing. And every single thing that you want to do, you can do it just by wiring yourself for it. So assess your current life, assess the downloads you're putting into your brain. If you're literally working on your laptop and you're looking at things, you're typing in stuff that's negative all the time, or you're typing in crappy codes if you're trying to learn something, how do you think you're going to feel? So why do it for real? Because we have become conditioned to do it naturally. In Ireland especially, and I'm sure it is across the world, it's almost bad to become successful. The minute someone becomes bankrupt, yes! They've lost all their property. I'm so delighted because they were greedy anyway. And all of this stuff, we celebrate people when they fail because it makes us feel more comfortable. Now, in saying that, I don't anymore. I love it when people are successful and people are happy and achieve their goals because I think differently and I look at people differently. It's like if somebody, imagine people are ringing you and I say, do I want to answer them or not? Imagine if they're going to fill my mind with been talking about somebody else and been really mean. Will I answer it? No. So why answer people or answer messages or answer information from the environment if it doesn't make you feel good? Only answer and engage and open up information that makes you feel wonderful. Find it, read it, put it into your brain, download it and practice it. You can do this as a little tip. This is something that I do. It's very simple, but it's quite effective. I want you to imagine a delete button in your head. Okay? There it is. If somebody says something negative to you, and that includes yourself, if you watch the news more than every half an hour or every hour, I want you to press delete. Literally imagine pressing it. Can you all imagine that button in your brain? If you can't imagine it visually, look at this and feel it going into your brain, or hear that sound. Okay? So delete it. Importantly, you need to replace it with something positive. So if, for example, I say to myself, I can't afford it, and it makes me feel bad, how about reframing it and saying, how can I afford it? What do I need to do to afford it? It's a different question, you'll get a better answer. The questions you ask determine the answers that you'll get. If you ask crappy questions, you're going to get bad answers. If you ask better questions or reframe questions, guess what you're going to get? Better answers and better solutions. Imagine this. Hear it. I want you to imagine going into your brain. I also want you to do something else. Who's right-handed here? Okay, this evening, or today if you have them here, I'm sure you do, get an elastic band and put it on your left hand. Who's on your left wrist? Who's left-handed? Okay, get an elastic band and put it on your right hand. Now, here's the thing. I want you to wear this for 24 hours. If anybody asks, say that lunatic Donna Kennedy made me wear it. There's a reason. And people may ask, why are you all wearing elastic bands? Anytime you think something negative about yourself or somebody else, I want you to get it, depending on your hand, and I want you to do this and let it spring back so it hurts, right? It will shock you. Wear it in the shower, everywhere, for the next 24 hours. It will shock you how many negative thoughts you engage in every day. It is like sitting at your computer and opening up negative emails all of the time and wondering why you don't feel good or perform well. Look at what it is that you're opening up. What is it that you want to hear in your life? So every single time, no matter when it is or where it is, bang it good and hard, whack it off your arm and go, I shouldn't have done that. Now, why am I asking you to do that? Not to give you pain, although it will hurt. I'm only asking you to do that because here's the thing, it's physical. Your body will go, oh, I didn't expect that. So it changes the pattern. When I'm asking you to put a positive program in there or delete your negative programs and put a positive one in its place, your brain doesn't expect it. Our brain is conditioned, so it just does that. How many people, honestly, if we left this room and came back, you'd sit in the same seat? Now imagine if somebody else sat in your seat. Would you go, what's she doing sitting in my seat? Move! Because we get into habits so easy. How many people have their side of the couch that they sit on? Or their mug? Or you go and when you go home, you put your keys in the same place all the time without even thinking. Or you drive home and you don't realize how you even got there. You could be thinking of something else. Because we do things on automatic. And I want you to learn stuff on automatic that will help you to be the best that you can be. That's going to help you. Doing this will actually help you because it'll throw your brain off track. It doesn't matter what you do, whether you slap yourself in the face, whether you drink a drink you don't like, whether you smell something you don't like, as long as it interrupts your brain. But I want you to just do that because it's really simple. And if you ever do it again in the future, put that elastic band back on and watch what happens. You will genuinely be shocked at how much negative rubbish you're putting into your lives. So hands up, who is going to become a victor? Now, to physically get it, I want you to stand up and become a victor. Oh my God, I'm standing up. People are looking at me. Now, this time, look slightly above eye level. Just slightly above eye level, as though you're walking like, I have this got. Breathe deeply. Now, think of someone who's super confident and relaxed in a way, but they've got genuine confidence. You might see them on TV or might know them. Now, think like them. How would they walk? How would they breathe? Would you walk differently? Now, I want you to all, for a second, look down at the floor, put your shoulders in like this. How do you feel? Okay, now look back up, look slightly above eye level. And she breathes already. So sit down. If you engage your brain correctly, you will embrace the day differently. You'll start to behave differently. But you need to do it often. This is not a one-time thing. You need to continually do it until it becomes automatic. And I'm going to finish up on this because I know time-wise. Get out of your own way. The only person stopping you from doing what it is that you want to do is you. If you decide and commit that you're not going to take any rubbish anymore, that you're not going to settle for second best, that you want to actually live the life that you want to live, why not do it? What's stopping you? Every single person who has achieved anything great has overcome adversity. Most people who are world-renowned, great thinkers, great achievers, Einstein failed maths. Walt Disney was fired from his job. Guess why? For lack of creativity. Michael Jordan was thrown off his basketball team. All of these people failed. But here's how I want you to think of it. There is no such thing as failure. It's feedback. If something doesn't work out, go, what can I do differently? How can I do it differently? Ask better questions. And importantly, take action. If you just wish for something, it's just a dream. But if you take action, it becomes reality. And that is the gap in between. I used to wish for a better life. Sometimes I prefer to trade my life for nothing, just to do away with it. That was then. Now, I make better questions, I ask better questions, I make better decisions, and I focus on better things. And importantly, I take action on those. I don't wish anymore. If I want to do something, I don't have to know how to do it. I've just got to do it and find someone who's done it before me. Do you all know someone who's done something successful before you? Everybody has. Everybody knows somebody like that. Find the strategies and model them. And keep taking action, and keep doing it, and keep doing it, and keep doing it until you get the result that you want. And you will get the result that you want. And remember the phrase, we are all born happy and successful. We are conditioned not to be. Now that you know that, I want you to be your best version of yourselves and reach your potential. And I'd like to thank you on that note.
Thank you so much. I'm gonna open maybe one or two questions. We only have about 3 minutes left, and then we'll go to audience questions very quickly. Please wait until either myself or John get a microphone to you. So, first question I want to start with is that after each of the major events that you experienced and you were coming back and kind of really strong again, there must have been lots of times when you kind of wanted to give up.
Mm-hmm.
What strategies did you use, or just why didn't you actually? Why didn't you give up?
I didn't give up because I knew that there was something better. I didn't know how to do it, but I knew that there was something better. And I was sick of seeing my parents upset. I watched other people have what I wanted. And I guess I just knew there was a slight glimmer there that I might be able to do it if I could get the right people behind me and the right resources. And I guess I hung on to that hope, because when you've got a bit of hope, you can do anything. So that's why I grasped that hope, and I also became very grateful for everything that I have, not what I don't have.
You clearly have had lots of brilliant achievements. What in your mind has been your greatest achievement?
Having my baby.
I thought you'd mention Ashton.
It has to be. Yeah, and you know what? That was bloody painful. I have to say, it was the most painful thing ever. But sometimes it takes a bit of pain to get great results. And that was my greatest achievement. I've done all the other stuff, but that was my greatest achievement.
Fantastic. Any audience questions?
This is the point, and I said this to Caroline beforehand. This is the point where everyone goes, I want to ask a question, but I can't put my hand up first.
I can't be the first person.
Anyone? Yes, great.
So you made the analogy of a computer, and you said that everything is an app you download or a program you download, but don't people and even children are born with like some pre-made software? Like children share something without people teaching them how to share?
You can have that. It's a physical, but then again, this is neurological. So we download stuff, but it becomes part of our neurology. So for example, if somebody has Down syndrome and there's gene 21 and it's not working as effectively as maybe other people, that's part of their neurology. That's part of their genetic makeup. But I don't believe that people are born with emotional, been pessimists or been depressed. If you look at all of the research, every bit of research that's out there, it's all based on behavior and thought. So what you feel and what you think will literally affect the chemicals in your body and your neurology. If I think negatively, cortisol and adrenaline are released to my body. If I think a happy thought or I look at something positive, chemicals such as norepinephrine, serotonin, which is antidepressants, dopamine, they're all flood my body, and that has a physical response. So there are, it's like we're physically, we all look different because we have different genetic makeups. But on an emotional level, it's neurological, and that can be changed. Does that answer your question?
Okay, thank you, Donna. Anybody else with one final question you'd like to ask?
We have busy days and everybody's always running and always go, go, go. Do you have any tips on kind of like finding in yourself what really makes you tick? Kind of, you know, to find that purpose to go after in that sense, instead of getting lost in the day-to-day stuff. And
Set aside time on one day a week, 1 hour on one day a week, to take a pen and paper and literally write down on the top my why. Why is it that you want to do? You know what you want to do. It's just the condition that's clouding it, but you know what you want to do. Because when you get up in the morning, you go, oh, I'd love to do this today, or I'd love to do that today. Or if I said to you, are you a creative person? And you go, yes or no, whichever. Or are you someone who loves like an adrenaline buzz? You'd say yes or no. You'd know those questions because they're better questions to ask yourself. So what kind of a person am I? What do I enjoy? What makes me go, yes, I really, really enjoyed that? Or, you know, are you a people kind of person? If you're a people person and you take on a solitary job, you're never going to be happy in it. So when you start to write out what is it that's your why, or play around with it rather than trying to be stiff with it, just play around with what it is that you want to do. Then you put the passion behind it. You'll only get passion when you try it out. Honestly, most people here and in the rest of the world don't know what they want to do, simply because they haven't asked themselves. Kids, if you ask a child, what do you want to be? I want to be Superman, or I want to be a nurse, or I want to be a doctor, or whatever. It's not necessarily that they do, but in that moment they do. So they just don't question it. And adults go, yay, oh, isn't that lovely? That's so cute. So they get a reward for it. Or if a child does something, everyone celebrates. If a child stands up and walks and takes the first step, everyone celebrates. So if you start asking yourself positive questions and then you kind of celebrate those questions or reward yourself when you do something that you love, your brain will start to physically respond to it. There's a part of our brain, some people consider it part of the limbic system, it's called the anterior cingulate cortex. And what that does is, that is responsible for rewards, impulses and desires. And that part of the brain, especially in women, activates very, very easily when you give yourself a reward and it tags it to the thing that you're doing.
Thank you very much, Anna. So for the last 30 seconds, final question is, who inspires you?
My mother. She passed away 2 years ago, but everything that she taught me has inspired me. Now, I know people think, you know, it should be some celebrity or somebody that everybody knows, but for me, being the best that you can be and having good morals and values and having good integrity, that inspires me. I don't care who the person is. So my mother, for sure, she taught me how to be grateful for everything that I have, not in a like grateful for your dinner way or there's people starving somewhere else and you should be grateful, in a way that to genuinely appreciate. If these were gone, would you give me €1 billion for your hands? Not a hope. But yet everyone just takes for granted what they have. Would you give me €1 billion for your clothes? Not a hope. If you had to take them off and try go around everywhere. You might give them to me at home with whatever transaction. Would you give me your eyes for €1 billion? But most of us think we have to be grateful for everything out there. Where my mother, she inspired me to understand, I suppose at the beginning out of desperation, but to understand that the stuff that you actually have, if you become grateful for it, you actually become a stronger person. Every day, and it's something that she taught me from when I was like about 5, she said, say 10 things that you're grateful for every day. 10 things. And it's very hard to stop at 10 once you start going. I'm grateful for my eyes, I'm grateful for my hands, I'm grateful for my big toe. If it was gone, I'd hate it. I'm grateful for the seat that I sit in. I'm grateful there's heat here. I'm grateful that, you know, we're in a safe environment. And the list goes on and on. But as soon as you start to do that, your brain starts to open up and think differently. So she inspires me most.
That's great. Thank you very much. So please,